Father in heaven, this indeed is a glorious day, for we are honoring you by recognizing the service that you instituted in the Last Supper in the upper room. And I want this, Lord, to really be prominent in all our minds of what it really shows about our God in heaven. So use me, in spite of my faults and shortcomings, to share these thoughts that you have ordained to be shared, that it brings nothing but honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to enhance your foot washing experience, which will set the stage for a pure and long-lasting joy during the communion. I've entitled it The Three Things Jesus Knew. And I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to John the 13th chapter as we prepare for foot washing. John the 13th chapter, and as you can see, we'll be reading verses 1 through 12. So turn there, and children, I want you to take your Bibles and open them and follow along as we read this incredible story and see the depth of meaning here. And also, if you don't have a Bible, children, see me after church and you'll get a free one, a new one, I mean. No, I won't charge you either. Okay, you got John the 13th chapter. Let's go. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God, arose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed need only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments, sat down again, and he said to them, 'Do you know, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet.'" Now, I want you to see the very first thing that Jesus knew. It's found in verse 1, if you didn't pick up on that. And there it says, in verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from them to the Father. My friends, I want you to stop and think what that meant. Then in the very first verse, as he sat down with his disciples, and by the way, don't miss this, notice he instituted a brand new service. He instituted the communion service to take the place of the Passover service. And when it says that he knew his hour had come, he knew all of this was going to happen to him. In fact, I want you to quickly look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, so that there's no question in our mind that any of this was a surprise and shock to Jesus. In Matthew, the 20th chapter, we're going to look at verse 17, 18, and 19. Here's what it says. It says, "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, I am going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify.'" By the way, in the book of Matthew, this is the third and final time he warned his disciples that this was going to happen. And so when it says in verse 1, Jesus knew his hour had come, this is what he was facing in just a few short hours. And by the way, I'd like to add a little note that I didn't think of till just during the prayer time. I want you to remember what the disciples were doing when they arrived at the upper room. Do you remember what Luke distinctly says the disciples were doing in the upper room? They were arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest. The very opposite of the meaning of the Messiah and Jesus teaching for 3.5 years. And then take a quick look at Luke. I want to add one thing because this one really stands out in my mind. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. It says here, "And he took the 12 aside, said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished, for we will be delivered, for he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked, insulted, spit upon, and they will scourge and kill him. When I read this, I looked at this. Okay, Lord, let them have it. That's what they deserve. You're facing all this, and they're busy in their selfishness and their ignorance of not listening and understanding what you taught them. Wipe them out." But what did Jesus do about what he knew, folks? The Bible says, he arose from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Could we blame Jesus if he had done anything else in light of what he was facing, in light of the circumstances around this moment in the upper room? Could we blame Jesus for thinking about himself? Could we blame Jesus for being distracted and thinking, man, how am I going to handle all this? Don't forget in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said 3 times, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But no, his main concern was his disciples. Well, what's the second thing Jesus knew? The second thing is in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he had come from God and was going to God. In other words, Jesus knew who he was. There was no doubt in his mind. And by the way, who is that Jesus was? Well, John, we'll stick with the book of John, and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is Jesus Christ John is writing about. Jesus knew that he was God. Jesus knew that he had all of heaven at his disposal. Jesus knew that the angels would give anything to bow down and worship him, and the choir would be singing his praises, and the Father would be proud as a peacock, and the Holy Spirit would be there. But what did Jesus do about what he knew? The Bible says this. It says he got up from supper, and he laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. What a God we serve. Again, we see clearly, not only did he know what was going to happen, but he also knew exactly who he was, and he didn't hesitate to go through this, because what was prominent in his mind was us. Us. Not the unfairness of this whole situation. Not the irony of this whole situation. That the King of the universe would come and they would spit on him. Have you ever been spit on? It's not a pleasant experience. And those that are able to do it, they know how to really conjure up a ball. Because it happened to me once. When I read that in Luke, it just tore my heart up. That Satan didn't spare anything to humiliate Jesus, and all he cared about was his disciples, was you and I. Well, the third thing that Jesus knew is found in Revelation, is verse 11. For he knew who would betray him. And what did Jesus do with what he knew? The Bible clearly tells us that he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel of which he was girded, including Judas, his betrayer. If this wasn't communion, we could go off on all three of this in an astronomical fashion and no one would be bored or upset. Jesus tells you and I to love one another. We're to even love our enemies. And this shows that Jesus practiced what he believed. There was no humiliation too great for Jesus to win our salvation. So why do we fight amongst ourselves? Why do we hold grudges? Why do we take sides on issue and fight with one another? And by the way, I'm talking in general now because lately, especially, I've been hearing more people say the Paradise Church is a loving church. No pastor that exists, right, Pastor Ryan, could hear a greater testimony about their congregation. But folks, I and you still have a way to go. We've got to look at these three things Jesus knew and try to figure out how he could overcome all those things that were real and true and existed in order to comfort and prepare his disciples for what was coming. And why would Jesus do such a thing? And it was right there in verse number 1. Jesus did such a thing because having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He calls us his own. Have there been times that you've been ashamed of your son or your daughter? But in our humanness, I bet you still didn't reject them or push them away. If you did, I want you to know Jesus never did that. This ragtag group of people who missed the greater understanding of what Christianity is all about, even living, sleeping, and eating with Jesus for 3 years, he said, having loved his own. And he loved them to the end. Oh, friends, I want you to love this Jesus. Because if you don't, I want you to know he still loves you. I want you to know that no matter how difficult your task may be, or even how terrible your behavior is, he is still trying to reach us. Because we're his own. And Jesus loves till the end. And so when you wash one another's feet today, I want you to think of how incredibly symbolic this is, that you're playing the part of Jesus for someone else. You know, when I wash my wife's feet, I think of all the times I haven't been so nice. And I feel better for having washed her feet. And in that thinking and process, I even treat her at least a little better. Because Jesus loved us to the end. Is there someone here you're mad at? Is there someone here you have a split with? Is there someone here you've talked about? Here's the time to make those things right. And if it's a woman to woman, you can wash their feet. If it's man to man, you can wash their feet. If it's a man to a woman or a woman to a man, you can go up and say, brother, sister, I love you and I'm sorry. And then you're really going to hear how loving this church really is. Father in heaven, I want to thank you that you're a great God. I only can apologize to you that I wish my mind was more active like Einstein so that I could think of more beautiful words to describe who you are. But in my head, it's straight, Lord. With your help through my mouth, some of it will be conveyed. You deserve to be praised. Help us, Lord, to truly love one another, no matter what has happened in the past. Help us, Lord, to be kind to each other. Teach us how to be like you. And when we come back for the ordinances, Lord, that represent your broken body and shed blood, may we come back rejoicing because you've accepted our penance as well as our service to one another that washes us clean even though it was only our feet. So dismiss us with your presence to the foot washing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.